Hello, friends. Hello, hi. Citizens of Westeros that have now been torched. This is We Have Thoughts. Yeah. And, bitch, we got some thoughts. Yeah. I mean, we've had thoughts all season. But if you don't know us by now,
Dios.
We got issues.
Yeah. It's like the Julia Michaels song.
I got issues. You got them too.
So this podcast is going to be a little small because there's only Joy and I today. I'm Crystal, by the way.
I'm Joy.
Anna is ill. So.
The illest.
So we're just going to be chatting about it. And sorry, this is so late, by the way. We have been so busy and
guys, our whole lives have been completely uprooted. Been so, you know,
so
we're just trying to
function.
We're
just going to get into it because
let's go, bitch.
Okay. So I appreciate that. She looks like a mess. You know, she.
Oh, my God. Okay. So not even getting into Dany's storyline yet, but just Dany, Emilia Clarke's acting this episode was really great. I feel like she was really emoting.
Yeah.
They stopped whoever. Kept giving her the direction of just be completely blank and feel nothing. And when you conquer shit, like she was finally like, she was sad.
Yeah.
She was angry. She was motivated. You know, it wasn't just like blank. Mm-hmm. It was with feeling.
Yeah.
You could tell like she actually was doing something with her character.
Exactly.
Moving forward.
I told you Missandei was her braid girl. So she gone. So her hair is a mess.
Her hair was a mess. I guess she found another braid girl though. Cause in the next trailer, her braids are all like all done again.
Yeah, I'm sure she has another braid girl going on with her.
she chewed on Missandei.
I guess John keeps forgetting that they're related. Cause they were like making out and he was like, Oh yeah, I forgot.
I guess she's that.
He loves her that much, I guess.
Yeah.
I
also like, I can't really tell that he loves her except for the fact that he keeps telling me every 5 seconds, you're my queen. I love you. Like, that's the only indicator of this.
And I'm like, John, because he's such an idiot.
If we had better writing, John wouldn't be so stupid. Because he didn't used to. He wasn't this stupid. Yeah, like,
he's like uber stupid now.
Because like he was blinded by love for Ygritte, but he still did what he needed to do.
That's true.
And now he's just fucking blinded, no head, no brain,
no nothing. I wish
he
would have been
nothing.
Like, okay, Dany, yes, I bend the knee to you and I will serve you, but I can't do this romantically because it's fucking weird.
Right.
Please respect that, but please know that I'm behind you 100%. Like, I think that something like that should have happened because it just looks like she's mad because her boyfriend doesn't like her anymore.
I know, and that's so petty. That's so petty. That's, like, so not her at all.
I just... Anyways, so
the season should just be titled The Mess.
So okay, so Tyrion Tyrion says, you know, someone's betrayed you, and she says is it John or whatever or something like that, and it's like later in the week and we haven't seen this episode since Sunday, so it's been a while. Because they opened the whole episode with Varys writing like notes and talking about, you know, John's
Daenerys is a fugly slut. Do not trust her.
That was a real note.
That was a good one.
I mean, Varys is just being Varys. He's not doing anything out of the ordinary.
Right. Like Varys said, he's always like going for the realm. He's going to do what's best for the realm.
Yeah.
And so what he thinks is best is happening.
Yeah. And I think, again, a lot of the issues I have with this season and this episode and everything is they're not allowing enough time for things to breathe. Like, Varys is much more sneakier than that. And I feel like if they had more time to, you know, because he goes
to flesh it out.
Yeah, he goes up to John like, out. Hey, you should be the king. Hey, Dany is not whatever. Like, Varys, you're not as like.
You're not so like straightforward with that information. You're like, you want them to think it's their idea. You're going to implement little bits and pieces into
it's
their
like
lives.
It's like he knows the season's ending, so he has to do it really quickly or something. It's
so
weird.
You know what I read? I read is that, which now it makes sense, that they were offered two full seasons.
Yeah.
So they were season 7 and season 8 were going to be completely full seasons. But they wanted to stop early because they want to get on that Star Wars thing.
Also, I just think they're tired.
I know, and I'm like, why would you've already committed, like, don't be lazy, just like commit, you're committed, you're gonna do this, fucking finish it. Right. I mean, like, don't just don't just think you can blind people with like explosions and dragons and, you know, death.
Because a lot of the issues could be solved. Like a lot of the, like the whole thing with Brienne and Jamie, him leaving her, that whole fiasco again, God. If it had been time to breathe. The whole stuff with Dany burning down King's Landing, which we'll go to. Needed time to breathe. Like, it's just
everything. Needed time to build her up to that.
Yeah,
because like that was so quick.
Well, we'll get there. But I feel like all of this stuff just feels so like compacted and rushed, and I don't like that.
Which, you know what? It's a very interesting feeling. I feel like it's compacted and rushed, but I also feel like they're wasting a lot of time with like nothing.
Yeah,
like there's a lot of. Okay, I 100% really enjoy some good cinematography, and some good editing. But I feel like a lot of time, a lot of screen time is wasted on things that like are completely unnecessary, or like scenes go on for too long that like, okay, I get the point. Like we're supposed to be scared. Like dragons are breathing down fire. Like, okay, I get it. I'm not an idiot. But like,
yeah,
things are taking too long that should not be taking that long. And things that need time to build are not getting it.
They're just they're clearly over it. And that's the feeling I get through everything.
Bitch, like, you knew what a monumental task this was gonna be. This is the reason why, like, George R. R. Martin was very hesitant about giving someone the green light to make the series, is because he was like, it's not possible for TV. It's not possible for TV.
It was for a while there.
I mean, it kind of was, but, like, it was still missing chunks and pieces because, like, you can't possibly... A big part of it is like a lot of these things, these chapters are written in characters' point of view. So like, mm-hmm. you're not going to get Danny's internal monologue. You're not going to get John's like indecision with the Night's Watch and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then the Free Folk and whatever. Like a lot of these things are happening in their head while they're talking to themselves. So it's really hard to translate that to screen without it being like obvious and you kind of dumbing it down. This is a big task. These are big books. These are big, a lot of world building, a lot of fucking characters. So like, if you're gonna say yes to it, then do it correctly.
Well, they were in the beginning, they were doing, you know, when they had the books and they had the first like what, four or five seasons, they were doing good. It's just this last two, you can feel it in the energy of the writing, that they're just so done, and not necessarily because they want Star Wars, but they're just ready to be done with this, because it's been what, 10 years of their lives they've had. And it's not just like one thing, it's their whole lives revolve around it, so you can feel that they're fatigued with it, which I understand. I get like being done with, you want to use your creative outlet for something different, but like it's still, you're getting paid still going to do on this. And it's not like, just people, you're not letting the audience down, you're letting the actors down, you're letting the directors down, that everyone who works on the show so hard. It's not just them. Like, I feel like it's very selfish.
Like, if you didn't want to write it, okay, there's other people that have written other episodes.
Yeah, that's
previous
true.
Writers that they've had that are very invested in these characters, mm-hmm. and really care and still care and have done interviews about how much, you know, they would have liked to get, you know, a little more time with this. So like, if you just wanted to be like, we're not directing, we're not writing, we'll just produce, give the reins off to somebody else that like knows the plan and knows kind of the plot, and then just let them duke it out. Like,
yeah,
you didn't have to do everything. You really didn't. You're getting paid regardless because you're the quote unquote creators of the show. So like, just let someone else have at it. If you don't care, just give it to somebody else.
They're tired, and it's making us as an audience tired as well. And I think
I'm fucking tired.
That's a huge issue with the show, especially its last season. It should be going out with a bang, and it's going out with like a sigh.
Ugh, a sigh of relief. Thank God it's
so over. Dany, for some reason, Dany gives Grey Worm Masande's like slave collar. What?
Okay, that's a even. Okay, again, the writing is bad. Why would she keep that? There's no reason, and I know they gave a reason, but like the reason maybe it's is
like
stupid.
Okay, we never saw it. She kept it in her room all the time or something. And also, like, why did she
wore it like when she was first with Krasnys?
No, I know, but why did she keep it with her like all this time?
Right,
that's what I don't get. Like, I would think she wanted to forget about literally being a slave.
Right, she just
also
wants
like
to...
Dany, you know, you're giving a slave collar to a formal slave. Do you know what's happening right now?
Jesus, girl, get like, it together.
What? And he literally throws it in the fire. Like, okay, what was the point of that? That was so stupid. So I guess we'll just go to the battle, because that's really what I have the most notes on. So when it's happening, finally Drakkar is everywhere. They come from behind the ships.
Bitch, how the fuck? Okay, an episode ago, they shot down Rhaegar, whatever his fucking name
Rhaegal?
Is.
I don't
Rhaegal?
Know,
whoever. They shot him down so easily. No big deal. No scope. Like, go. Like, got it. Done. Yeah. And this one, they can't fucking shoot the biggest one. He's got more also, square like, footage. This, like
the fact that one dragon took... What's the dragon?
Drogo.
Drogon? Whatever. The fact that one dragon took everything down further proves that Rhaegal did not need to die.
Literally.
It was useless and it was stupid. And so finally, Drakkar is everywhere and she torches all the scorpions first. So that was really cool. The whole
That was, thing. Yeah, that was a good shot.
She comes from behind the ship, so they have to turn. Takes them a long time. Again. Duh. Again, remember we talked about how they should go into the sky and then come to so she finally did that.
She finally did it.
Because I guess she just learned how to use her dragon advantage. Now.
Bitch, she's been torching cities for a while. She should have known.
Not well, apparently.
I mean, those other cities that she torched down, well, they're...
To be fair, they didn't have scorpions, so I guess I understand, but no. I don't.
But still, it's really lazy writing that, like... Oh, and actually one of the actors pointed it out because someone asked Euron, the actor who plays Euron.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to butcher his name. They asked him in an interview. They were like, so you guys were able to shoot down a dragon pretty easily last episode, but this episode you can't. And he's like, oh, I don't know. I guess they needed it for the writing. They needed it for the plot.
Yeah, that's the only reason. It's why that's how it is.
Because otherwise, like, this doesn't make any sense.
Although I really love the overhead shots of like the entire King's Landing mm-hmm. and the Iron Fleet burning.
Yeah,
all that was super, super rad. So then I guess we'll go to on the ground with the Golden Company and John and everybody.
First of all,
so they're like getting ready to, you know, they're getting ready to go, I guess. And then the Golden Company is like out like that, like nothing.
Like, why would you introduce the Golden Company only to have them gone, like, a couple episodes later? After, like, literally 3 seconds of screen time. Then just don't introduce them. Just say it's the Lannister army. You're wasting time.
Well, because she needed money. That's what she needed, right? Didn't she? Oh, no, but she got the...
No, because she's paying them.
Oh, that's right.
She bought them.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. I didn't really care for them, so didn't they die? Bye.
It wasn't important enough.
I mean, they weren't important. Like, whatever. So they get fried and then they open. She burns the gate. And that's like right before she goes.
Oh, yeah, the opening thing. Gate.
So we're walking in. And, you know, John. And first of all, that shot of like John and Davos and them. That was such a cool shot. I think I took a picture. I saved it, but I can't find it. I'll look later. So whenever they stop and they see like the Lannister army, I thought of like West Side Story. Like the Jets and the Sharks. I was like, are they going to battle?
Oh my God. Are they going to sing and dance?
Is this the musical episode?
It's America's crazy. Westeros Next Best Dragon's crew.
I would watch that so hard.
Same. Oh, I want to see Dorne battling it off with Winterfell. That'd be great.
You know, Dorne would win.
Duh.
Are you kidding me?
Duh. This is the only flavor in this whole country.
Until there's a team that comes from Braavos. That's like,
oh yeah, hell
all
yeah.
Out. They got like multiculturals, you know. Mm-hmm. They like take over the world. It's been great.
Amazing.
That show I'd
go
watch.
Braavos.
So she starts burning things, whatever. And we should go back and say that Tyrion tells Dany, you know, they're going to ring the bells and that's when they surrender. So when you hear them, please stop.
Just stop.
Also, and like, Dany gives
you got to make it. God, this writing sucks so hard. If you have to make it so obvious, the bells, everybody's talking about the bells, this, the bells, that. And I'm like, okay, we get it. It's the bells. Something's going to happen at the bells.
Well, I mean, yeah. So he tells her, and then she gives a look to like, what's his name? Grey Worm. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, like,
what. Did she talk to him beforehand?
Yeah, I wonder. Had she said something like.
Well, you know. If that had been an actual scene in the show, that would have been so helpful, wouldn't it?
Again, Tyrion still would have
explained
like,
so much character.
He has faith in his sister. Like, I don't. Have you met her before? You know that she's awful.
Bitch. Oh, I read this tweet. Oh my God. So, if you didn't know, I love me some Lannisters because they're the worst, but I still love them. I don't understand why. What my. I have a crisis. But the Lannisters talking about how much they hate each other and how quickly they strangle the life from their family, only to pass up every opportunity and actively help one another survive.
Speaking of, so like, even though, again, Tyrion lets, and I think Tyrion letting Jaime escape or rescue him or whatever, it's like mirrors his escape from when he killed his dad and mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And even though I was like, I saw, like, I got annoyed, I did appreciate that scene with those two. It was really good acting.
They're really great actors.
And it was like, okay.
Even if the writing was like subpar, they're doing their best.
I feel like the writing in that scene wasn't that bad, but I do appreciate that that hug was very, it felt very heartfelt.
Also, like, plot hole, if you knew there was a way into the Red Keep from below, from the tunnels, you could have taken Davos, who's great at the ships, at the being a pirate, and just a mini army of the, what do you call them? The Grey Worm people?
Or I don't know, maybe because you have an assassin on your team who just killed this White Walker king a couple episodes
ago. Fucking tell the assassin.
Have her stealth her way all the way up there. Stabby, stabby, win-win, we done.
And then Cersei's dead, and then Dany doesn't have to kill torch all of King's Landing.
Okay, so hold on. I'm going to see if I'm there yet. Do I have any notes?
Before? Tyrion, what? They just... he just doesn't know anything anymore? Okay.
It's... Okay, so... okay, I'll just ask you. How do you feel about her burning King's Landing?
So like, part of me is like, okay, why? Because again, no build up, no character like show for this or whatever. But okay, on the other hand, I'm like, okay, she's a Targaryen, fire and blood. She's literally been promising that she was going to do this for years. She's going to say she's using the full might of her power. But also, like, it doesn't really, it's not really cohesive to the story, because that's not the story that they were telling up until this point. But also, like, I can justify it both ways. Dany has been a conqueror. That's what she's done this entire time. That's who she is. She's a conqueror. She liberates people. Great. But, like, here, you can't really be a conqueror, because this is supposedly the place that you're trying to lead, the place that you're trying to be, you know, the queen of. So you can't just go about it the conqueror way, because these people don't know you, and as far as they know, they don't really need you. But then it also comes back to like this show not showing that there is consequences to your actions. Like in the beginning, there was consequences to, you know, what Ned was doing, you know, what Stannis was doing, what everybody was doing. Everybody was getting in trouble for their shit. But like, Cersei blew up the Sept of Baelor. Cersei blew up the religious compound.
Like church.
Yeah. It's like her blowing up the Vatican.
Yeah, that's really bad.
Like, and there's no consequences for this. Like, the people are still like, they're not in uproar. They're not in uprising against their queen who just blew up.
They're probably scared of her, I would think. I mean, I would be.
Right. But like, even in the councils and everywhere else, like, there is no none consequences for that.
Well, really, she doesn't have a council anymore. Like, more or less, they kind of all just dipped on her because she's nuts, you know? And that's another thing, too. Like, the Lannister army, when they were like, ooh, this ain't going right, they, like, dropped their swords. They're like, okay.
Bye.
White flag, because I
right.
know.
Right.
So, I don't have a problem. Okay, sorry. Are you done? Do you have more to add? Sorry.
So, I can understand Dany being upset and going to this extreme, but I feel like, again, the show didn't give us that premise, didn't give us that build, so her just doing that just kind of feels like, oh, I'm just doing a 180 and now this is what I'm gonna do. Like, I've always been a Targaryen and now I'm going crazy. But it's not really her going crazy, like, it's just,
it feels like it though.
It feels like it because there's no premise for it. Mm-hmm. She's only ever tried to do the right thing. And then it goes back to what I think you or Anna said in the last episode, that like John or Tyrion or somebody should have been there to like vouch for her and be like, hey, she's good. She's done good things. Yeah. She's only here to help us. Obviously, like, look, she's going against Cersei, the Mad Queen, because, you know, she's crazy and she wants to save you from her.
Yeah.
But like, her, what is her council doing? Just coming up with dumb plots.
Her council is like, ridiculous.
kissing at her feet with no intelligence behind it. Like,
at least Varys was like challenging her at one point, you know?
Right. Like, you, that's why you have a council, because you know you don't know everything.
Yeah.
And you have to have people who have expertise on certain things. Someone who's good at battle, someone who's good at strategy. And also,
you need to be willing to take that advice.
Right. Like Sansa, there's no point in having
offering like really smart things about her troops, about her people, and Dany was having none of it. Why? Because she was being called into question.
Yeah.
And that's on Dany. Dany needed to be like, okay, you're right. People are tired. They can have.
We got to take a break. Like,
there was no need to go to King's Landing that quickly, because Cersei's not coming up there to Winterfell.
No, Cersei's happy in her castle. She wasn't going to go attack them. You knew you had time to recuperate and regroup, and probably like, you know.
So all those people dying is on you, Dany. You're the one who did this.
Yeah.
Because to go back to before we get to there. Mm-hmm. When Varys gets killed and he gets incinerated, that shot of
the dragon coming out from the darkness.
The darkness. Wow.
Beautiful.
Wow.
Beautiful.
I love her like very nonchalant. Jakar's. Just do it. Jakar's.
Right. She's just like over it. Like, oof. He's not important. Even though
Even though Varys is right. Yeah. Okay. My thing with Dany. Okay. Her being quote unquote crazy, her turning full Targaryen, like jacking it all the way up. I'm not upset with that. I'm upset with the way it was, again, handled. Like everything else, if it was handled properly, would make sense. For example, I think when she, first of all, she should head straight to the Red Keep and just straight for Cersei, like, because Cersei was the enemy, not those people there.
Exactly.
If people die on her way to Cersei, that's one thing. But she should have went straight for Cersei, and like,
if there's collateral, bye, bitch, bye. That's
different than you like purposely frying everyone.
Yeah.
Jakar-sing everywhere, and I think I'm gonna rewrite the show for you real quick. it would have made more sense to everyone had maybe Cersei had Missandei there. Missandei killed or chopped her head off in front of the people of King's Landing.
Right.
And then King's Landing were like, yeah! And then Dany goes, oh, fuck all you guys.
Yeah.
Jakar's everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
That would make sense.
Right.
There's
motivation
she
there.
She has, exactly. So therefore, her actions make sense to us.
Right.
Her just like going, flying off the handle and killing all these people makes no sense for
where her character
is. Who she
at.
Is. Like, mm-hmm. She put her dragons in the dungeon because they burned one kid. Do you know? Like, back in Marine. Like, yeah, and then she, yeah. What was it? She killed the slave masters because she was so upset about when all those kids, like, being the arrows to the whatever the hell. Mm-hmm. Another interesting tidbit would have been, so on the ground when all this stuff is happening, Danny's like, oh no. Or I'm sorry, John's like, oh no, this is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because first of all, why is Davos there? He's not like a fighter. He said this many times, like, I don't fight, but he's been whatever. So John's there like pulling his people up. First, okay, another thing. Who's gonna rape in the middle of this right now?
God.
What?
This show just really makes any excuse.
That was just for
like
John, like, to gross. Look like a hero, I guess.
Ugh.
And it didn't make any sense.
You could have like just had someone trying to stab somebody else. Like, you didn't have to make it gross.
What?
Stop it.
Also, I really like there's one shot of like a Lannister soldier like getting people out of the way, like helping people. Yeah. Very interesting, like take on the back and forth of that.
Also, like, didn't the Dothraki just like die two episodes ago?
Not all of them.
I know, but that was a lot of fucking Dothraki. They're just respawning out of nowhere.
Yeah, they're like sponges that they regrow, you know.
Also, like, the Unsullied, they were pretty down in their numbers too.
I mean, well, remember on the map they said they have half conveniently of each. They lost half. Uh-huh.
That looked like way more than half, bitch.
I know.
You sent all of your Dothraki up there. I
know. Whatever.
Fucking trash.
So when John's like, oh no, this is bad. Again, I'm going to rewrite the show because I know how to write a show better, apparently. It would have been interesting had Rhaegal not die and John and Dany are both on their dragons. And then when Dany flies off the handle, John has it like, oh no, what do I do?
Right.
I don't.
You don't want to be responsible for.
Wouldn't that have been amazing?
Yeah.
Right? To have this conflict, have the same like shocked face, but on Rhaegal, like,
Rhaegal.
Like them both, like maybe perched onto King's Landing, like on opposite sides. And she like, Dracarys, and then goes.
On each side of those border
like,
starts, walls.
Yeah. And then he's like, what do I do? That would have been really interesting.
Yeah. It would have made for a way more intriguing story.
Again, thank you. Hire me, please.
All the writing Emmys to you.
I mean, it's literally not that hard, but apparently it is.
Apparently writing TV is not that difficult.
It would have been much more compelling and interesting, and I would have cared. But she just like going down the aisles of a grocery store. You know, like.
That's true.
What? Okay, so we're going to move on to Cersei.
Also, like.
I'm going to like. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, so like last season, there was the loot train fight or whatever. Mm-hmm. How would the Lannister army go back to Cersei after seeing that dragon?
I know.
How did they not all just be like, all right, bitch, I'm out, bye.
Well, I guess maybe not all of them were there, I'm assuming. I don't know. Again, they're like, soldiers on the show are like sponges. They just grow, they pop like weeds out of the ground. I honestly don't know. There's a machine in the Red Keep somewhere. They make
They're just knocking them out. Yeah. They're just making new ones every few seconds.
It's like the machine in Spy Kids where they like they have this on a conveyor belt.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Oh my God.
Okay, so we'll finish with Dany. So I do like that we don't see her face anymore after she goes all ape shit on the town, because she's not her anymore apparently. Mm-hmm. I appreciate her acting because she's just like,
oh my
acting
god,
into nothing.
Her shot, the shot of her on the dragon trying to decide whether she does it or not, beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. That's when you really see like remorse, confusion, oh no, like
going in her brain,
so many emotions through her face, and I'm like, finally. Unfortunately, it took some bad writing, but like finally, like she's able to like show more emotions. Like,
you know what's interesting? Maybe these actors, and all of my problems with this show has nothing to do with the actors.
The actors are amazing
because they're literally doing the best they can with what they have.
Right.
And I think because they want to make it good, they're acting better, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. They're
like
gonna
trying to compensate
hide it
for what they know is garbage. So they're just like,
that's so,
because they can't quit. Like it's too late. So they're just like, I'll do the best that I can because someone else doesn't do the best they can, so I'll do the best I can, so then I can present myself in a better light.
They're trying to elevate the show. Yeah.
Exactly. So, okay. So, Dany is, and I think this, again, this sets it up so whenever Jon has to kill her, we don't care for her anymore. But I don't like this whole narrative, like, that they're trying to write of, like, bitches be crazy. Like, I don't like that.
No. That's so, like,
annoying and stupid and weak and stupid. Just hire me to write the show, because I just gave you two ideas that would have made the show that much better.
All right, bitch, there
I'm
you go.
Just saying.
Honestly, like, if you guys don't like this last season, just go read fan fiction. People write way better shit than this.
And again, I think I said this last season, like, now I get why people write fan fiction. I understand it now. Before,
honestly,
I thought, like, this is so stupid, why are you writing a thing, it's already written, it's already a TV show. But they're so passionate about a story, they're like, this is garbage, I can do better. And I just did.
Exactly.
I just did it for
exactly.
You
just made fan fiction
so,
on
whatever.
Air. Amazing.
Okay, so now we're going to go on to Cersei. I'm going to let you start.
Oh my God. I'm not going
to
cry.
Do you want me to go?
I'm not crying. Okay, so I got some issues.
Okay, well, don't we all?
We do. I know we've talked about it earlier this season. However the fuck you pronounce it, the Valkenar prophecy.
The Zorabai.
Azorabai. Azorabai. Oh, and I miss you. She won't want to listen to this. Maybe.
I know, what a hoe.
The Valkenar prophecy is the part that they left out of Cersei's prophecy back in season 5. So theorizing online is that kind of story is going to be given to Jon and Dany, so that when Jon kills her, it's going to be more like a crime of passion, whatever, because they've got that sort of relationship going.
I mean, they did set up again her being crazy and him
right
being like, makes it for that,
right?
I
so they think they're gonna save
that
way. Save that for that
okay.
instead
okay.
of having it happen to Cersei and Jaime. I guess whatever, you're just recycling storylines for other people. Like, why would you take it away from the people that it anyways? Okay, so in the way that they have written Jaime and Cersei in the show, it kind of makes sense. Because if they were to have actually gone through with that prophecy, they would have had to plan ahead again since like season 3 or 4. Plan ahead for this. Because Jamie's whole storyline in Dorne never happened. Never happened. Jamie spends way more time in the Riverlands, you know. Jamie does not spend that much time with Brienne and all of this other shit. So like he has time to like see that like, okay, like maybe I've done some shitty things, but you know, I can still be a knight of principles. I can still, you know, protect the weak, blah, 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 whatever. So because they just like the storyline of this is all weird, it would have been kind of weird for Jamie to be like, oh, well, Cersei's so bad now, I have to kill her. So he didn't. But I guess he kind of just regressed to his old self and was like, no, just me and Cersei. That's all that matters. Nobody else. I don't care about the city, even though I saved them back when Aerys was trying to burn everyone. It was just really weird. But my faves died together, so I'm slightly less upset about it. It was just done like really weirdly. But what can I expect from a show like this? So, Cersei's dead. I'm sad. Jaime's dead. I'm so sad. Jaime's goodbye to Tyrion. Oh,
yeah.
That was some good acting. That was some good scenes.
It was a...
Again, yeah. I love my awful Lannister people. Like, they're terrible. And I know that. And I love them. They died together. Oh my God. Oh my God. Like, I know everyone hates them. I know that. But like, they just... I can't even explain. I don't even try to explain to Crystal and Anna because they just don't. They're not going to get it. I'm not going to bother with that. No, they don't need to get it. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, they're dead now. So,
my
favorite thing though, my favorite meme was a pile of rubble and then Cersei's hand sticking out of it with a glass of wine in her hand. And I was like, bitch, that's me trying to survive life.
Oh my God. So... First of all, finally Lena Headey has something to do, acting to do.
Jesus.
She's been staring out a window this entire time.
Drinking wine, staring out a window.
She has something to do, so that's nice. And I guess Jamie gets to, he gets to King's Landing and he's like, I have a gold hand, let me in. Because they close the gates on him and he can't get in. So he's like, I have a gold hand. Hello, look at me. So he's going through the whatever to finally get to the secret passage. And then Euron, first of all, this fight between Euron and him was waste of time and useless.
Unnecessary.
Why did that need to happen? There's not other than him being stabbed and being hurt. Like there was that they could have just showed that to him somewhere else. Like it didn't have to be Euron.
And then him bragging at the end. He was like, I killed Jaime Lannister. I was like, technically, anyways, no.
So,
but okay,
it's garbage. It's done. So then Jamie goes into the Red Keep to be with whatever. And at this moment, I thought he's probably not going to kill her, just because again, she wasn't, other than her like just standing out the window, she wasn't doing anything.
She wasn't doing anything directly
against Danny.
Right.
There was no retaliation for what was happening because she literally couldn't do anything anyway.
Literally.
So I guess. Him killing her would have felt like out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Because he was supposed to be helping Danny protecting, and it just didn't feel, it would have felt out of place. So I was like, well, okay. So then I guess in my head, I thought maybe Arya is going to kill her, which we'll get to her.
Mm-hmm.
So this is after Cersei is trying to escape with the mountain.
Qyburn
and the mountain. Right.
They run into the hound.
Like, the army will never fall. Oh no, the Iron Fleet's dead, or all the Scorpions are done.
Also, she was like, oh yeah, the city has never fallen before.
I was like, yes, bitch, it has.
Your dad has made the city fall.
Speaking of her dad, I wonder what would Tywin have done different.
Tywin would have married Dany to Cersei.
Ready?
No, that's just what someone on Twitter was saying, just to keep the power.
No, but seriously, I'm sure that he wouldn't have gotten this far, but I honestly, because Tywin was such a great, tactician and a great leader and a great, He was just great all around. Well, not great, but you know what I mean. So I wonder.
He's very intelligent. He knew how to play the game.
Exactly. He was very good, and he knew the right things to say, but in a way that you were like, did he just insult me? My favorite thing is.
But when I like being insulted by him. My favorite thing
is when he tells Joffrey, like, I think the king is tired. He needs to go to sleep or something. And I was like,
damn, what? Bitch. Shut
He's
up.
He's telling the king this. The king. And then Joffrey's like, no one tells me whatever. And then he like slowly goes to his room. Like that whole scene was great. But anyways, I always wonder like, what would Tywin have done different? I always wonder about that.
Some good stuff probably.
Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, she tiptoes away from the fight that's about to happen, which was hilarious, by the way.
Because that was amazing. I was like, that's when I saw the tweet. There was a tweet that was like, nominate Game of Thrones as for Emmy for best comedy.
Oh, my God.
Because honestly, how ridiculous it is now, it's a comedy.
Maybe not that far. It's anyways. So, okay. So Cersei tiptoes past the fight, and we'll get to that later, too. Qyburn's dead. The mountain is busy. So she's literally all by herself.
Yeah. That's
so it. She's just kind of, all which she did it to herself. Herself. This was the product of her actions, really. And then she sees Jaime and she's like, oh, you're hurt. He's like, we're going to get out of here. I guess I understand the whole like poeticness of
they have to what
she
together.
Thought. No, not that. But she thought what was protecting her came crumbling onto her. Like, that's how she died. But her, like, I don't want my kid to die. All that was like, ugh, whatever.
Also, like, I really thought they were playing this fake pregnancy game. So.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh.
I was like, it seemed like just a ploy to get her to. It seems in character for her to be lying about that in order to try to like keep Jamie or gain sympathy from other people.
Well, she had told Jamie that that's your kid. And then she told Euron it was hers, I think, just to get to Euron to shut up, basically. But I just think like you wanted him dead like a couple episodes ago.
Also, yeah. Like how did we get here from this? I don't know. I feel like we're just like. Maybe we're watching only like 50% of what's actually happening. Maybe there's 50% of scenes that are on the editing room floor.
I don't know.
Honestly, we'll never know. But maybe there was some substance to it. They just edited it all out.
I guess. Yeah. I thought like, well, okay. That was my whole thing. I'm like, all right, well, that's over. Like, I just, whatever.
Okay.
They're dead. So that's over. So let's then go to
the mountain.
Arya.
Oh, Arya.
In
okay.
The Hound.
Okay.
So they make their way to King's Landing and he's got the hoodie. Like raring to go. They're on a mission. They get it. They just barely get into the gates.
Hoodies mean people are serious. Because Jaime was wearing a hoodie when he went to Winterfell.
They barely make it to the gates and they go all that way. And so they're in the Red Keep, where the whole that beautiful like painted thing is at, and
oh, the map of Westeros.
Yeah, and he's like, "Don't do this. You look at me. I'm not a good guy. You have time to live, or whatever the hell he says." And then she says, "Okay, like you're literally right there. Why wouldn't you go?" He's like, "Cersei's already dead. You don't want to die either." I felt like, again, had we spent maybe. We spent maybe more time with them on the road, them talking, them having conversation. Them
yeah, because they just out. Like flash forward to being at King's Landing.
Yes. If we had more time with them to discuss these conversations and how they're feeling, then her so quick to be like, you're right, would have felt okay. But her just like, okay, then I won't go. I'll just save people then instead. It just felt too quick. I like that she called him Sandor, though. That was nice.
That was beautiful.
And the way he's like holding her head was very like, oh. But then he sees his brother and he's like, your grace. Beautiful. What a badass move. They fight and
oh my God, I can't even with this fucking fight.
I didn't really care for. I mean, whether Clegane Bowl happened or not, didn't matter to me because I wasn't invested in it. Mm-hmm. But this is also like a fan service move, them fighting together. But I did like,
which is so fucking stupid. Like, don't do that at the cost of like your bad storytelling. Like, Sandor was literally traumatized by fire, and you're going to kill him by fire because you think it's poetic?
Well, I think that was the only way he really needed to kill his brother, was he was going to have to sacrifice himself to do it, you know?
I know, but the Clegane Bowl was so stupid, and, like, Sandor would have, literally, it, like, no, it just feels so wrong to have him die by fire, because that's literally what he was suffering from his entire life. It feels like a slap in the face to his character.
Burn to his face.
How dare you? It's only been 6 days. Wow, too soon.
This is history. It happened a long time ago, so.
Shut up. This is what England was doing while everybody else was building civilizations.
It's another dimension. It's
alternate universe.
Doctor Who will be coming in the next episode. With his little screwdriver. Anna, I made a Doctor Who reference. Are you proud of me?
Woo!
Whatever. They fought. And, like, he's not really a human. He's, like, a zombie monster or whatever.
So, like, he's unkillable anyway.
My favorite thing, where he was like, fucking die! That was so funny. That's what I say to, like, flies and roaches and stuff. I'm like, fucking die. That was great. But, yeah, so he's gone. R.I.P. I think he was a great character. I liked him for what he could, you know, whatever.
I liked his relationship with Arya and Sansa. I think that the only two people he cared for in the world, like, he really stuck with. And, you know, he got Arya all the way to King's Landing.
Yeah. So that's done. He's done. So we'll go back to Arya. So Arya,
I love Arya so much.
Is like, okay, I'm not going to be you. I'm going to peace out and go be Arya or something.
Because, okay, because, like, here's the thing that they've really been missing out this season and last season.
Mm-hmm.
Is, like, really being able to, like, flesh out and show us that, like, Arya obviously is a changed person than when she originally left Winterfell. Obviously, she's gone through a lot of trauma. She's killed people. You know, she's had people around her killed. And so she's not the same Arya that she was when she was a kid. Mm-hmm. Duh. And so I feel like they've kind of been sucking at showing us that, like, Arya's back home and Arya's trying to find a way to balance who she is now with her Stark roots, with still being able to be connected with her family, but still being, like, this crazy assassin. So, like, they haven't given the time. They haven't given the time to her and her story.
Mm-hmm.
So it just feels a little bit too quick. Cause, like,
Everything else.
Right. Like, the thing that they ended with last season is, like, the lone wolf dies, but the pack survives. This pack is all together and you only get one scene of her talking to John. You only get one scene of her, like, nodding off at Bran or Sansa or whomever. And, like, the whole point is that they're back together and there's the only one still alive. And so you don't get to see Arya being like, oh, I've got to try to be a normal person and reconnect with my family. But, like, these things have happened, so I'm obviously not the same person. So you don't get any of that, which is really just a loss in itself, because I feel like even just in that scene with Sandor, that's the only time that you really get to see her her internal conflict. Which, again, is just me putting ideas into the scene because we don't know what the fuck happened. They could have been talking about her family on the road. She could have just been like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I really wish if this was a regular season and they had chance to do 10 episodes or two seasons, whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
and they could have done it.
Mm-hmm.
So this could have been like a whole episode, them moving of them traveling, but like a, but part, like of, a
part of the episode, them traveling down. Them
traveling. That would have been great conversation.
The Winterfell army traveling down, like Dany traveling, John, mm-hmm. all of that. But no, here we are. I think that's just like a missed opportunity to be able to show the fleshed out version of Arya and Arya being like, okay, no, I don't want to be this poisoned, revenge driven person. I'm still a Stark. Like, mm-hmm. I still need to, like, live with that. But, you know.
Also, she went to be with the Faceless Men and she hasn't done that yet. When is that going to happen? Never. I mean, she's just killing people, which is great, right? But change in the face, you know,
not in a little while at least.
Okay, so Arya leaves, and first of all, as horrible as this episode was writing wise, it was absolutely stunning.
Yes.
The cinematography was out of this world. And it's very evident
the with lighting.
Arya running through the city. All of that, like, it, oh my God. It was so, first of all, I didn't like that she was dying three times in a row. Like, that was annoying.
Oh my God. Yeah, like, basically was concussed. And then the second time, she was definitely dead. And then the third time, I was like, she's fucking dead.
Yeah.
There's no way. There's no way her assassin self. There's no way for an assassin to get out of that. She's a
human still.
She's still a person.
I know. Like, she's a small person.
It's like when you play a video game and you're like, you get like sucker punched real bad. And you're like, oh, I think he's going to die. Oh, no, wait. I just got to get some health points and I'll be fine. Like, were there health points under the rocks?
Yeah, you didn't see it. The doot-doot-doot. It beeped.
Yeah.
Yeah, so all that stuff following her through the city was so good. It was her like trying to save people, and she tried to save that like lady. Also, her getting trampled was like giving me anxiety, and it was like, oh my god, it was making me think of whenever John is in Battle of the Bastards and he can't breathe and he's trying to get out, like all that. Again, same director,
Michael Pashuk, right.
Is amazing. He's so good. It was a lot of the same beats, but the sounds were different.
Yeah,
if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. So she's going through the city and she's trying to save these people, and she eventually sees like a lot of these like women hanging out together.
First of hiding.
All, hiding, yeah. She totally killed that lady and her daughter because she brought them out. Let's go. And then right after they were done.
Yeah.
Just that whole, all that whole camera sequence. Work was amazing. Mm-hmm. You see like the Dothraki fighting far over there, and then the camera pans and there's the horse right here. And it's just, it's so good. But the part where she, towards the end, where she's full of ash and she's walking around, it reminded me a lot of 9/11, and it made me really sad.
Me too. I didn't know if anyone else felt that way.
I was like, oh, this,
that's a little,
this
too
really
real.
Happened, and I don't like it. This is bad. And then I thought, that's when it made me feel more sympathy for the people of King's Landing. So I was like, Danny, this is what you're doing. what? But and the whole shot of her walking towards the horse, the lighting in that shot was beautiful. Her red, like super red blood with the white ash, that contrast of the coloring was fantastic. All of that entire sequence looked amazing. It really, really did. The cinematography was out of this world. I was so impressed with all of that. I mean, I remember Dany saying to, I think it was, what's her name? The Queen of Thorns. What's her name?
Elena.
Yeah, Lady Elena. That I don't want to be the Queen of Ashes. Well, bitch, you literally are now. So good job.
Also, if you remember back to season two, whenever she was in the House of the Undying.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yeah.
She was at King's Landing and we all thought it was snow. No, it was ashes.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, I didn't get it until... Benjamin pointed out for me, and I was like, oh my,
well, someone God. had pushed that gif of her walking into there, and I was like, oh my God. Yeah, that was good.
I feel like if they had actually, since they were actually going for like, you know, Danny going off the deep end, whatever, and because she's all alone now, it should have ended with like her on the throne alone. That would have been a great ending shot. That would have just like sealed the deal and be like, okay, all
was
right.
Was the throne even there? Because she like the Red Keep like caved in Cersei.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, we didn't see a dead body. So I'm just saying.
They like creeped out of the. They're like in one
little
spot.
It's the wine
spot.
Glass. Her hand is out of the rubble. You know, another thing too, like.
Maybe the rubble that fell on them was only the rubble clearing out of the tunnel so that they can get out.
Oh yeah.
So actually they're like, oh my God, someone posted a tweet actually about that they survived. And do you remember that scene in the last Christian Bale Batman movie where it's him and Catwoman and I don't know who sees them like at a cafe in like Paris or something?
I think so.
Yeah, where they think that, you know, Batman died and sacrificed himself.
Oh, yeah.
And then they see him at, is it Alfred?
Yeah, I think
Alfred
so.
Sees them at, like, some cafe and he's just, like, nods at him. It was that same chip, but instead of Alfred, it was Tyrion. And instead of Catwoman and Batman, it was Jaime and Cersei.
God.
They're like, they did make it to Essos. They escaped.
Oh,
God. I thought that was the greatest thing. I love it.
I also Tyrion, like, is he gonna die? Yes. I mean, I think so too.
I put good money on that.
I mean, I don't have good money.
Unless, so I can't, like, but. I mean, yeah, I don't either. But if I had some, I would bet on that. Although, I don't know. The writers really, like, really love him. So he might just make it after all.
He's made a lot of stupid mistakes when it comes to being her counsel. So, and because Jamie's dead, she'll never know that. Well, I mean, she might know because he's not in prison of the camp anymore. But,
oh, yeah.
He let him go. And.
What is he going to say? I sent him off to kill Cersei.
And he did, technically.
I was like, again, bitch, isn't he? How are you?
Isn't he, right?
He is. Wow. He is. Everyone else is dead. I mean, I don't know what Casterly Rock looks like right now, but I'm assuming everyone's dead.
Probably like a rock.
Shut up.
Oh, another thing too. Like, mm-hmm. there's, you know, that shot of whenever she's Dracarysing everywhere, mm-hmm. and there's like the shadow of the dragon on King's Landing.
Yeah,
that
was like actually Bran's vision,
mm-hmm. like three seasons ago or something like that.
So I guess other than that, Bran's not really important anymore. We're never gonna see him again. Cool.
I don't know. Whatever.
Are we ever gonna see any of the other Stark children together again? Ever? No. Okay. Cool.
I mean, I don't know.
Is Arya gonna acknowledge Jon again?
No, she did. Maybe. They were talking in the, when he's telling, I have something to tell you guys. She was like, we're family. You can tell us. Like, I swear.
I know.
But they were talking then.
They cut away and we didn't see any reaction.
Which was really weird. Anyways, that was the last episode. So, another thing. I think I had one last thing. Queen of the Ashes. She the Ashes. What do you think Arya is going to do now?
Bye, I'm going back north. That's what I would do. I'd be like, this is not the place for me since there's nothing here. I mean,
it's all gone, pretty much. They're all dead. I wonder what her plan of action is. Because
she's definitely going to be very upset.
Technically, all the people on her list are dead, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, so not that she killed them, but I don't wonder what her... What's her next move? What's her purpose in life?
See, that if we had some build up towards,
if we had the conversation Arya, with her, mm-hmm.
yeah. Arya talking to the Hound, or Arya talking to Jon and being like, I'm only here for one reason, and then I'll go back to my family, blah, 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 or whatever the fuck I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. But again, no character development at all.
You know, interesting thing, too, is like this show before it had like separate sections, like these people were in King's Landing and they had a story, and then over here people are in the Night's Watch and they had a story, Winterfell, whatever, but not all these people are together
or dead.
Now they're together. All these people who were in different spots are now having scenes where they interact, so it's like when they did that, they reduced them to like smaller roles. They don't have mm-hmm. and again, if this was, they had more, if they fleshed it out more, they did more episodes, it would make more sense. They'd have time to make those relationships weave in better.
Yeah.
Than just here it you would are connect you those are,
relationships instead of just being like, we're all in the same room, let's have a conversation. It would make more sense while they were talking to each other.
It reminded me whenever they, I think it was last season, when they went to the dragon pit and everyone is there.
Yeah.
Have a lot of interactions, but like it felt so like flat. Because
it felt there was a disconnect there.
Yeah.
Because it was like people that haven't seen each other in a long time are saying sentences to each other, but they don't really make sense and they don't carry the weight of their previous interactions.
Yeah.
Or the fact that they haven't seen each other in years, some mm-hmm. of them.
Yeah. So I feel like, again, poor execution, but
it felt very forced.
I think that was when they had to bring all the characters together. That's when mm-hmm. they struggled. Like, how do we maintain the individuality of these storylines and these characters when we put them together? And they didn't know how to do that. And I feel think like it's even more evident now because they're either two places now. It's even less.
Right.
So it feels so.
It feels like they're just like they're trying to get to certain plot points. So anything that's not in the path to a plot point, they've just kind of like erased completely.
They're just checking the boxes.
Right. They're just like, oh, we got to be here at this time. Oh, Danny's got to go mad. Oh, John has got to kill her. Oh, you know.
Yeah.
Cersei's got to die or whatever. They're just marking things off a list rather than trying to write a cohesive story.
Yeah. But
So there you have it.
I mean, that's our thought. I mean, again, I feel like I complain so much, and I am sorry. This was just me complaining the entire time. I don't want to complain a lot, but I feel like I really do try to find good things in this show because,
like, visually stunning, acting amazing.
I think this might have been the biggest, personally, that I've ever seen, the biggest divide between story and visuals of something.
Oh yeah,
they were so far, like, opposite ends of
the visual spectrum. Was like way up here, and the story was just like
I've never seen anything like that before in that sense. So, like, good job, I guess. I don't know.
Wow, way to achieve something terrible.
Yeah, so I think and next week, well, tomorrow, Sunday.
We only have one episode left, and I feel like,
honestly, if this was like a regular season and there was the next season to come, I would have quit. Like, you know what? I'm done. But it's really one more episode, so I can't quit.
Can't
like, everyone on Twitter was like, I'm done with the show. I'm done. I'm like,
there's only one episode left, guys. Come on.
Quit being dramatic. Oh, there's so many tweets that I saved, but I forgot, so I'm not going to read them. So I'll just retweet them, and you can read them on my Instagram.
Follow us on Twitter, guys. What's my Twitter?
Hold on. I'm at Zunigator, so be my friend. Or follow us at WeHaveThoughts3.
Yeah, we tweet from there.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Mostly
Anna.
Mostly Joy.
And me. Yeah.
I tweet sometimes.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay, maybe
what's your handle, Joy? Do you want to give it?
Or
you
No?
That's fine. No, good.
Just find me.
Why don't you want to give it?
I don't know. People are going to see how much I love my favorite
characters. Well, I mean, it's connected to the We Have Thoughts,
so. And how much I hate everyone else.
So they can get you from there.
I mean, yeah, if they want it, they can find it.
Oh. You got to go get her, people. Okay, so that's that. We're going to talk about the final episode and probably bitch some more then.
Expected. I'm just going to keep drinking my wine.
There's no...
I gotta do it for Cersei.
I'm trying to think if there's any way that this show can be redeemed as far as...
No.
And there's... No. It's too far gone. And I've surrendered. And there's a lot of things
Maybe if, like, they gave me, like, the Stark siblings in a group hug. Maybe.
That'd be the only thing.
That would be the only thing that make me smile.
Like, Ned wakes up. He's like, have this crazy dream.
Shut the fuck up.
Next to
oh my god, honestly, what would save this season for me is if someone fucking mentions Catelyn Stark. Please just say something positive about Catelyn Stark. That's all I want.
The last scene's gonna be Ned waking up to Catelyn and be like, man,
shut the fuck up.
I can't do that because I'm not gonna try.
Becky, look at her dream. That was a beautiful accent. Everybody clap for Crystal. Woo!
I didn't even say it. I just said,
I know that was the joke.
All right, so we're gonna go to bed now because that's enough talking about the show.
Yeah, we're done.
And we're gonna talk about it one more time and never talk about it again
until we do.
Okay. Bye.